Hi, I'm Milo Dennison.
And I'm Kev Bamboo, and this is Rip It Up.
Rip It Up is a topical show about life-impacted creatives in the world today.
Yeah, on tonight's show, we're joined by the incredible vocal talent of Noam Frank, where we'll be discussing the topic of endometriosis, and Noam will be performing a couple of songs for us tonight too. But before we get into the show, Milo, what's that fur thing that you've got on your chair there?
Because are you talking yours? About this?
Yeah.
This is from my Arctic hunting expedition for the polar bears here.
And No.
So when I had a photography studio, this was the wool thing. And so it's really good for when you're doing newborn photographs.
Oh, okay.
And so you take the newborn and you create like a little bed and put the newborn
like
in
a little
it.
Nest.
Yeah. So you get a lot of cute little newborn pictures and stuff.
I didn't know you had a full whole damn studio.
I did, yeah. When I lived in Dublin, I had a proper photography studio.
And like polar bears.
Yeah. I don't. It's lamb. But I don't know if it's real or fake, honestly. But it used to be really soft and really nice, but it's kind of been wearing down. This chair that I'm sitting in, we call it the torture chair in our house because it's the world's most uncomfortable chair. You sit in it for like 10 minutes and you're in pain. So I added this as a little bit of extra padding.
You gotta pad it out.
And you know you're gonna sit through this for the entire show. That's kind of brave.
Yeah, that's it. That's why, like, by the time I'm done talking, because Kev likes to talk, and so by the time we're done having a conversation, like, I have a hard time getting out of the chair. I'm just like struggling.
that's just your age, Milo. That's nothing to do with.
Sadly, that's not the chair.
Yeah, that could be.
I feel like it's similar to what I'm wearing, but you know.
It does match. I noticed that too, actually.
Yeah,
so we're stylish. We coordinate. All right. Noam, let's stop talking about this stupid chair and talk about you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, what got you into music, all that fun stuff.
So my name is Noam Frank. I'm 28
Noam.
Years old.
Sorry, did I mispronounce? I said Noam, didn't I?
It's like everyone's giving me the W. I am okay. Noam, but actually say Noam.
Noam.
Yes.
Oh, I apologize. I would have said it like that as
That's
well.
That's okay. It's so rare that anybody pronounces my name right that I'm actually surprised, like for the better, if it happens. I'm never mad. That's completely fine. Fun fact, my name actually, it's a Hebrew name, and in Hebrew it means pleasant. So
nice.
You may not call me pleasant, but it's the meaning of my name. How I got into music is a funny one. I started playing piano when I was 8 years old. So kind of like, it's kind of almost always been there. And writing songs and singing when I was 10. And I even started doing it professionally around the age of 11. So I kind of grew up in the industry, recording, doing a lot of stuff. So it's kind of been my identity my entire life, really.
So was there a moment when you realized that you was going to be a singer, or like your parents realized that you was going to be a singer?
So kind of. I didn't think that I was like a good singer or anything. I was more, you know, just like a dorky, like a bit of a weird kid playing piano. And then I remember one day when I was around the age of 10, my dad and I were in the car and I just had my new first cell phone ever. We're not talking smartphones yet. It was like one of those like flip-floppy ones.
Yeah.
Remember those?
Mm-hmm.
So one of those, one of the Samsung ones. And it was so fancy because it had three colors, not black and white, but black, white, and blue. Mind blowing. And you could buy, like you could purchase and download these horrifying karaoke versions that sounded like absolutely terrible. But it was extremely exciting because YouTube wasn't a thing. There wasn't like a karaoke everywhere you go type of situation. And I remember I just bought one of the like popular songs at the time. And I was sitting in the back of my car, and the car, and my dad was driving, and I sang out loud. But it wasn't like a proper performance. He was like, no, sing. Like, he was encouraging me, like, give me a performance. Like, let's see what you've got. And when I finished singing the song, he basically, like, he stopped the car, like, in the red light. He was, like, looking back at me. I was, like, kind of, like really surprised and weirded out by that. And he's like, do you want to start singing lessons? I think he was like, I think that's when he noticed that we're onto something. I didn't really knew what it meant, but I said yes. And very quickly understood that this is probably what I'm going to do with my life.
And you've been doing it ever since.
Yes,
that's
pretty much.
So amazing. Like, yeah, I've changed what I want to do with my life, you know, every couple of years. So, yeah, that's really impressive.
I change what I want to do with my life at this stage, like pretty much every day. I think it's just, I guess this is the age, it's the stage of life. Like I'm 28 and like every day I wake up with a different path that I want to walk towards. But, but music is not like a, what I'm going to do with my life. It's so strong within the things that I do that it's not what I do. It's kind of like who I am. I know that sounds super cliche, but it's the actual truth. Like this is just how I am.
Makes sense.
It's really cool. You know, obviously your dad suddenly discovering he's got basically a child prodigy on his hands.
Prodigy is a big word, but
it is. And I was glad that I got that right then, because I was like, is that the right way to say it?
I didn't say that. You did.
But I really want to get into like kind of the main topic, and one of the big reasons, as well as your music, you know, to get you on the show, is to talk about endometriosis, which it's a topic very close to yourself. For anyone watching the show, can you tell people what endometriosis is and how it impacts your own life?
Sure. So endometriosis is a chronic illness that affects 1 in 10 people assigned female at birth. And it affects, in most cases, your reproductive organs, but not only, it can affect organs in your pelvis in general and even anywhere else in the body. There are cases of it pretty much being found everywhere. It impacts people in different ways, but like the main symptoms that come with it are pain. Some people suffer with infertility. It's quite common, or with troubles with fertility, if not infertility as an end result. And it kind of presents very differently in different people. The most common symptoms is like extremely painful periods. That's like the one that pretty much everyone shares, or almost everyone shares. For me, it's a bit more complex because I got to be one of the lucky ones that just suffer all the time. So for me, it's like a chronic pain type of thing every day in the past 8-9 years. It's just been there. And obviously, sometimes it's better, sometimes it's worse, but it's impacted my life heavily. And I had to get a lot of treatments. I had a big surgery. I had a lot of fun. But actually, if I'm not being ironic about it, some bits were fun because I've discovered a lot of amazing people through this experience. And I've got to kind of shift a lot of my focus and find a lot of my purpose through it. So it's not all bad, but it's definitely a very, very challenging thing to be dealing with.
Yeah, really, because I have to be honest, I've never heard of it. Is there cases where people have it but don't realize it?
So I want to say most people, but I'm not sure statistically if that's true anymore, and I hope that it's not. But it doesn't surprise me that you haven't heard of it, even though it's extremely common, because again, 10%.
Yeah, that's a large percentage.
That's a lot. Right.
Yeah.
But it's not something that was kind of like in the light, like people didn't really talk about it until lately. It's gaining a lot of recognition quite recently. Like I'm seeing more and more people talking about it, more and more media coverage about it. Like now, if you Google it, you'll find a lot more than when I got diagnosed and I Googled it, there was basically nothing. So it's not something that people are often aware of. And part of the issue is that exactly what you asked is that a lot of people have it, don't know they have it. And it's actually a really big part of the story of having endometriosis. If you'll have this conversation with pretty much anyone else, but like other than me, there's a really high chance that we have a very similar story in terms of getting diagnosed, which means that we went through many years of not being diagnosed, going through many, many doctors, being pushed aside, not believed, belittled, like going through a lot. I had to go through a really long journey of a few years until I got a diagnosis. And I heard horrible things from people that, and doctors as well, not just like people.
Wow. So with the diagnosis, is it just they don't understand like the pain, you know, they're just like, no, that's your typical pain for your monthly cycle, and, you know, don't worry about it kind of a thing? Or is it like you're imagining it, or is it?
It's pretty much all of those. Like, obviously there's the, it's just your typical pain. This is how it is. And I think a lot of people kind of accept that this is how like being a woman is like. People don't, and also pain is subjective. Like you, I can say I'm in pain and you can say you're in pain. We'll never know who is in more pain and what's normal. So I think it takes a long time until someone actually realizes that their pain isn't in the norm, that something is wrong. For me, it took me many years to actually think something was wrong. Up until the point where it became like a chronic daily thing, I never suspected it. Because it's a progressive disease, then it got worse over time. And at some point I was like, okay, something's wrong. But it took me a long time to actually even vocalize that maybe there's a concern. And even when there is, then you're often met with that kind of approach where just deal with it, take an Advil. It takes a long time, you know, until someone actually takes you seriously and does something about it.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand. Yeah, and sorry, I imagine sorry, Kev. Yeah, I would imagine it probably varies like countries you live in and doctors you go to. Like, not to talk shit about the UK healthcare system, but it is borderline impossible to get an appointment with a doctor in this country. And, you know, and then when you do to get to convince them that there's an issue, it's kind of an interesting system to other countries, for example. And I don't know if that was your experience or not, but I imagine, yeah, you just got to find the right doctor that is willing to see you and listen and understand your issue.
Yeah, 100%. I was actually diagnosed in the UK by a GP. And so that's the rare part of the story. But she was the 12th doctor that I saw for this alone.
Wow.
So
yeah, I was just going to say, because one of my sisters suffers with severe endometriosis. The misdiagnosis part and actually just kind of having to continually force the issue until somebody listens to you, that it's not just a generic thing that's happening, you know, it is endo.
It's so a real shame.
Your frustrations, yeah.
Not only because it's frustrating, like it has implications. First of all, there's definitely a mental toll on someone that is being told that they're being dramatic or they're being a baby or they're hypochondriac or they're imagining or they want attention. Like, I've heard it all. We've heard it all. Like, I am in touch with so many people that went through this, and it's like, it's a common experience. It puts you in a very bad mental state, like going through that for so many years, not being believed. It's very, very hard. And for me, it definitely took a toll on like, I don't know if like my mental health is the way to say, but just like everything in my life, the way I behave, like it just changes you. But also it also have implications on the physical side of things, because I mentioned it's progressive. So over time, if you're not being diagnosed and you're not being treated, it's getting worse. And that could mean worse effects, not only on the quality of your life and your symptoms, but also further damaging your fertility. And for a lot of people, that's something that if they were diagnosed earlier, possibly their story with fertility would have been different. And that's really, really a painful thing to say. But not only even, it could even affect, I have it just as an example, like on my urinary tract, like I have it on my bladder, ureters and stuff. People have it on their bowels. So it's like, it's not just pain. It could actually result in pretty serious like health issues as a result of it. I think a lot of times people think, oh, it's a shame that someone's in pain, but it's a lot more than just the pain. Like, this is an actual real issue that does need to be resolved or at least treated.
So there's not really, I mean, what is the treatment? Obviously there's no cure from the sound, I'm guessing. Yeah. Is it pretty much just pain mitigation and that's pretty much it?
Let's say there's no cure yet. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, let's keep that hope open.
Fingers crossed.
So again, no cure, but there are certain treatments. Some are effective, some are less effective. Every person is kind of different. So it's hard, but there is generally there's pain management, of course, but you know, if you are taken seriously and the fact that you're in immense pain, not just like something that you can take an Advil for, is being acknowledged, then there's more efficient ways to manage your pain. Because for me, like taking an Advil is like eating it, is like taking a Tic Tac.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it won't do anything for me. If I actually want to have a life and function, then, you know, pain management needs to be something that is sought after. Okay. There's hormonal treatments. Endometriosis is often, like not often, it's affected by your hormones and your cycle. So there are hormonal treatments to try and suppress the disease through that avenue. And there's also surgery where when they go in and they clean up all the endo and they throw it away. And a lot of the times endo causes adhesions, meaning that it glues your organ to each other and kind of makes a mess. That was the case with me. So when I had surgery, they kind of put everything back in place. You stay there, you stay there. Reconstruct everything. And it's not a cure because it grows back, but it's a temporary relief. And for me, at least, it was a really huge relief as well. So,
wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's still incredibly, you know, incredibly intrusive though, isn't it? You know, for yourself, because that's something that you've got to, like many things that women tend to have to, you know, go through in life anyway, there tend to be a lot of intrusive things that they have to go through that, you know, those things alone are, you know, just difficult things to do anyway, you know. So actually going through that compounded with all the, you know, disbelief, misdiagnosis, you know, it's an invisible struggle.
And invisible is a strong word in the community. Like, you'll hear that a lot. It's the part that most people struggle with, even after getting a diagnosis, because the pain itself, like, you cannot see this on the outside. You look like a completely able-bodied person. But you might just be suffering pain that is compared like to be worse than labor, and people don't know. And you have to handle it, you know, and live your life, maybe go to work, maybe take care of your family. Like, life continues and you're just left alone to deal with something that is really, really big.
Wow. Yeah. So is it then really difficult to get people to understand how much pain you're in and the fact that you have to like take time off work and that kind of stuff?
100%. And I can only talk for myself, but I'm very not expressive when it comes to pain. It's just my nature. And I'm also like a very happy, bubbly person. And I'm pretty much always smiling. And it makes people misinterpret me, which I totally understand. It's not their fault. But I'm often feeling like people don't understand what I go through. If I cancel something last minute, which I rarely do, but I don't feel like there's necessarily an understanding. Or I got it quite easy in the sense that I'm self-employed, a musician, I do what I want with my work. So I don't have to have my boss allow me to do anything. I'm in charge of my time. And I'm lucky in the sense that my surroundings, so my partner and my friends, my family, everyone's very supportive. So I got really lucky, but it breaks my heart when I read posts by people that don't have that. Or I'm in contact with a lot of girls that are going through the diagnosis process and they don't have people around them that get it, that understand it, that are even willing to educate themselves and understand it. Now, of course, you won't necessarily understand the extent of the pain, but just, again, acknowledging it and not judging around it, that's already enough in many cases, but not everyone has that.
So talking of like kind of that invisibility and then, you know, trying to help other people become more aware as well. Obviously, you know, there's a reason why we're actually talking about endo is because the whole of March is Endometriosis Awareness Month.
Yes,
anyone
it
that
is.
Doesn't know. So having a guest on who experiences endo firsthand is obviously the best way for us to, you know, truly raise awareness. But so to kind of like help other, you know, say help, because it's not really like, you know, oh yeah, why should, you know, they need to help me because I'm like unaware of your condition. But it's like, if we are to help others to raise that awareness more, it's like, what are some of those indicators? So like we talked about, obviously the workplace can be a difficult one for people because they try and get time off and then the boss is just like, no, there's nothing wrong with you, you know. How do like, what are some of the indicators? Like if you're an employer or maybe a partner or something, yeah, what are the kind of indicators that someone may have?
But that makes it simple. It's complex because it's different for every person, which makes it simple because the only thing you need to do is listen and especially believe. That's going to be it. If you know someone that has it, Don't try to assume you know what they're going through. Even if you know somebody else that has it, Kev, you mentioned one of your sisters has it. It doesn't mean that you'll meet another person with endometriosis and you know what they're going through, because their story and their symptom profile could be totally different. So it's not about assuming that you know what this person is facing. And this is kind of relate to anything, because, you know, there's a saying like everybody is fighting a battle we know nothing about. It goes with that. But the one thing that if I can speak in the name of other people as well, but I feel like people with endo really, really lack is belief. Like, just believe that if someone's saying that they're in pain, if someone's telling you that they need something, just like, don't question. The fact that they look fine on the outside means nothing. I know it's hard to believe, like, just as humans, we can't grasp it, we can't see it. So it looks like they're over-exaggerating maybe, or they're using it as an excuse. Like, you could take it to so many different places. And the one thing that you really need to do is just be attentive.
Right. Don't listen. Don't listen. Don't question.
Yeah, just
listen.
Don't assume. You know,
listen.
Yeah, don't assume. Yeah.
And accept whatever they're telling you is the truth.
Exactly. Like you would to any person that you care about in any matter. Why should it be different?
Yeah, they seem like pretty, you know, pretty sensible and obvious kind of thing.
It seems standard, but apparently it's not like that.
But people do tend to be difficult at, you know, doing the doing some of the more simple things in life. So, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what do you say we change the subject here and you play us a song?
I would love to.
I would love to hear it. So what is this song called?
Yeah, what's it going to be?
So I was keeping this to the last minute. I had a few options and I didn't know which one I would feel like playing. Let's do Unconditional Love.
Cool.
I think it's the most important song I've ever written. It's kind of like a manifestation song a little bit for me. So I love it for that.
You and me, we are connected. I don't care that we're separated. You will be part of my world. I know that they said it won't be easy. They didn't make an effort to please me. You'll be my challenge, so I was told. But I want to love you. I want to hug you. I wanna hold you in my arms. I wanna grow you inside my body. I wanna show you other. You'll be my prize, I'll be a mother. When time is right, I know it will be. I know that I said right now I'm not ready. It might take a while before I'll feel steady. But so you know, I'm not really scared. I wanna love you. I wanna hug you. I wanna hold you in my arms. I wanna grow you inside my body. I wanna show you. One. Oh, no. You and me, we're not a statistic. I lead with my heart, but I'm realistic. 50% is more than we need. So I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna hug you. I'm gonna hold you in my arms. I might not grow you inside my body, but I'm gonna show you
If that was the crying kind of person, I'd have a tear running down my cheek.
I saw one there, Milo. Mm-hmm.
I had to wipe it away real quick so nobody would notice. But no, that was absolutely lovely. Beautiful song.
Beautiful, yeah. I mean, I literally did have goosebumps at the beginning when you opened. I was just like, wow.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Did I kill your ears singing through this?
No.
Okay.
No, that's all good.
Do you have music like that people can download or buy or anything?
Yes. So I have stuff. Sorry. I have songs out with my band. So if you go on Spotify or Apple Music or YouTube and search Galactic Dust, you will find some pretty cool things on there. We're a bit fusion, half electronic, half stuff, a bit different than this. This is kind of like the darker side of my soul, my ballads, and that's a bit more fun.
Just is a great name, by the way. Actually, not really.
We named it after the sound of one of the samples that our producer used to use in the beginning, where it sounds a bit like sparkly.
I really want to express my thank you for being on the show. I mean, just, you know, being open and willing to talk about stuff like that and educate people. I'm always really impressed with anyone that's willing to do that.
Thank you. I was impressed that you wanted me on the show to talk about that, because again, it takes two sides to do this. And I know, sure. I don't want to be like, to categorize, but to have this conversation with two men, it's not like something that everyone's open to. So
yeah, exactly. And we have two guys here.
No,
yeah.
But it's great. I think that's really awesome, because most of the content out there is mainly women that are taking the lead and talking about it. But it's not just a women's issue. It affects women, but it affects everybody around them as well. And it's so common that it affects, it affects society, really. You, even if you don't know that you know someone that has it, you definitely know at least one person. So I think creating conversations that involve not just the people that have it is really important.
Yeah, I think having, two guys, listening, it's like that will encourage other guys to listen as well. You know, if they see it, it's like, oh yeah, you've got two hosts there. I happen to be men. So now a little bit of fun to go after this song now. So we've got our little mini feature called Ask an American. Yeah, this is our chance. Guest gets to turn the tables and pose Milo with a totally unscripted question. So take it away. I hope you've got something really difficult, boys.
Milo, how long have you been here, just for the record?
In the UK?
Yeah.
About 2 years. We moved in October of 2019.
And you moved straight from the States?
No, from Ireland, actually. So I was in Ireland for 6 years before coming here. So okay. I left the US in 2013.
Uh-huh. I see. Because I had the most stupidest question in the world.
Yeah, that was the easiest question ever.
No, that wasn't the question yet. It's just, okay, it's a very dumb question, but I'm genuinely curious. Do you miss the fact that everything is 10 times bigger in the US?
No. It is funny, though, because I do constantly have to express to people that difference that they just don't understand in Europe. So, like in the UK, they think all Americans are the same, right? And it's like, well, that's my, yeah, exactly. And I have to explain that's the equivalent of saying everybody in the UK is exactly the same as everybody in France is exactly the same as everybody in Spain, because
they are.
You know, well, I think so, but that's kind of the gist of it.
Like, US is huge, though, isn't it? I mean, it's bound
that's the thing.
I looked at
the state of Michigan is probably the state that's closest in size to the United Kingdom. So that's just one US state.
But I'm not talking state. I'm talking lifestyle. Like, you'll go, and this might sound like such a millennial thing to say, but. I traveled a lot in the US before I moved here.
And it takes you forever to get anywhere?
Not even that. Like, we're talking more basically than that. I'm saying Starbucks order. I used to order my iced tea. And you'd get a jug the size of your face, if not more, that you could literally sip on for like 3 days and not be thirsty. And then you pay the same price here for the biggest one, whatever they have, like, weird names that I'm refusing to catch on. But, and it's like this...
Yeah.
Like what? Like 50? Like, it's nothing. And then, like, you know, wardrobes it's like everything is
£6.20.
Yeah.
And like, as if the people in America are bigger, like everything you consume, the places you live in, like everything is huge. And here, everything seems tiny. Super tiny in the UK. I never knew that until I moved here.
Yeah. It's, it makes sense though, because I mean, it's a very compact and dense country here. So things have to be a bit smaller. So in the US, it's so spread out. You can drive a giant car. You can live in a giant house.
You can just spread.
Exactly. I am so
I get the car thing, to be honest, because obviously, like, you guys, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to drive to the mall or whatever. And it's like 7,220 miles away.
Yeah. Try walking back.
You know, so it's like, you know, and then in the UK, it's like someone says, oh yeah, it's like 500 miles away. And an American's like, Yeah, that's just a trip to the grocery store, kind of.
You know, something
funny. Like, it's a big trip, you know. It's
like... If you're saying like that, and it's all like relative, right? So it's all the proportions.
Yeah.
I grew up in Tel Aviv. So tiny city, tiny country, like so small. So for me, like when I moved to London, like in Israel, like if I'm in Tel Aviv and I want to meet a friend, if it's more than 20 minutes, I consider that far. And maybe I won't go. Because of it, because we'll be lazy, or we'll meet halfway, or if it's like a 40-minute drive, I'll see you once a year. You're going to be that friend. You know, we're going to meet in birthdays. But here, if I open City Mapa and it says less than 50 minutes to get somewhere, I'm like, oh, cool, easy.
Yeah, yeah.
So it really changes.
Because we joke about that. We're like, how long is it going to take to get somewhere here in London? And we're like, probably 45 minutes to an hour, you know.
And you think that's completely acceptable.
And that's completely normal.
Now that, to someone in Tel Aviv, they'll be like, well, I'm not going. Can we do this on Zoom?
Yeah.
I must admit, though, outside of London or outside of like larger UK cities, I would say that there's probably a similar
mentality. Thing.
Yeah, like you know, it's like, oh, it's 40 minutes. Like, oh, so like, I think there was someone I was chatting to him. I was like, oh yeah, you don't want to meet up and, you know, get a coffee or whatever. And like, oh yeah, how far away are you? It's like, oh yeah, like 20 miles or something. Like, oh yeah, yeah, that's really far. I was like, perhaps they just didn't like me. But you know,
yeah.
Like, yeah, that's just way too far.
I do need to say though, because you did mention the size of the drinks in the US.
Yeah.
And I'm totally with you. It is.
Are you really dehydrated now?
It's fucking ridiculous. Like, it really is. On my last trip there, I went to, like, you know, just a drive-through of something. And I didn't even get the large drink. I think I got like the medium or something like that. And they handed me this.
Keeping it humble. Yeah,
it's like a liter sized cup. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, seriously, no wonder everybody in this country's fat. Like, you know, you get these giant ass sugar-filled drinks.
True. That's kind of my dream, though. I want drinks to come in, like, because I drink a lot of water, and like, I could live on like a large iced tea for like 2 days. I don't mind, you know.
Yeah, and free refills. Everybody offers free refills there as well. So not only do you get a giant drink, you get free refills with it.
Isn't it like a Taco Bell in the US?
It's the
blasts or whatever, you know. It's not ridiculous.
Oh, it's utterly ridiculous there. It really.
I'm just saying it's ridiculous because I'm probably just jealous.
Like, no, I'm from there and I think it's ridiculous. It absolutely is. It's appalling.
Okay, so you don't miss it then. That gives me my answer.
Yeah, not that aspect of it. Not at that. That's for sure. Okay, so let's turn the tables. and stop talking about me and start looking at funny pictures of Kev. This is our badly drawn bamboo segment. Yes. So what?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Backstory. Kev and I were talking on the phone the other day to prep this moment. Mm-hmm. And he told me, can you draw badly drawn bamboo? And I, of course I can. I'm a terrible artist, but I don't just want to draw your face. It's not going to be a portrait, you know? We're going creative on this. So I asked to know random facts about the guy.
Ooh.
I'm going to blush now.
Yeah.
So we did like favorite food, spirit animal, hobby, career, like give me everything. And I ended up clinging to three things. So we got the photography, spirit animal, elephant,
mm-hmm.
and shellfish. It's a bit of a weird one, I'm not going to lie. Are you ready though? Yes. I'm going to come show you this close to the camera because
cool.
I'm that's quite how excited to see I am this for one this with that creation. Introduction.
Yeah, we got another digital image, I think.
One, two, three.
Oh, wow.
It's Bamboo.
Wow.
This is Bamboo riding an elephant, shooting shellfish.
That's amazing. That is.
Hold on a little closer.
Of course. Wait, this is hard to manage. I feel like I'm showing you.
No, this is cool. So is that like a shellfish paella kind of on the
stool? I don't know. I Googled shellfish and I draw what came up.
That's cool. I like the
outfit you have him in as well.
Oh yeah, that's felt fitted. You know,
I didn't see that. Sorry, I'm riding an elephant or using an elephant as my ladder.
Yes, and I gave you ginger beard hair.
There are red notes in there.
So I stalked your Instagram and saw you have a Sony camera. You know, so we got that.
Yeah.
Wow, you even got the correct camera.
Wow. The research is real.
That is amazing.
I am really, really impressed. There is no way that could even be a badly drawn bamboo.
No.
Well, if you want the print, I will charge low.
No, we already agreed this. We said that, you know, we'd sell it and I'd only just take 10%. So.
Do you have it on recording?
Yeah. Just now. Right now we've got it.
Okay.
You yourself, you're not drawn that well, so I think I'm still credited for like badly drawn bamboo. Just I gave you a story, you know. But you're welcome.
creative flair. There's everything in there. That's like you've done a fully drawn bamboo, not just a face. So, I can't rate that bad, seriously. So, it's going to be.
Minus so, something.
Low is good. Oh yeah, minus. Well, we get our first minus. So like that good that it was. I don't know. I'm a harsh critic though, so I'm gonna still have to keep your feet on the ground a little bit here. So I'm gonna say that you're a 1 out of 10.
Wow. Have you given a 1 before?
I don't think I've given a 1 out. I think I've given a 1.5.
I think, is that what the other? Because I know you gave one really good score. So you're there. You're like in the top two.
Not the first.
Oh, no, that is the first, actually, because the other one was 1.5. Yeah, so this is number one. You are the best.
Because the rebel in me is excited to be the number one worst.
That is the number one badly drawn bamboo.
If I'm not going to get 10, I'd rather be completely last and be number one from the end.
Yeah.
No, in the reverse table, you are basically, you know, the top of.
Yeah, the ratings is backwards because it's not bad, so you can't get a 10. So.
And I'm yet to give anyone a 10 yet. So
I think you should give me a new scale. You should be in like a different.
It's like
my own scale, really.
It's the Frank scale. The Frank scale is like, -6 is a 0. It's like everyone else has to kind of.
That's a great number.
They have to recalibrate themselves.
That's fantastic. That is absolutely amazing.
I really love that. Really appreciate the time that you took to do that. So, you know, I hope you don't sue me now when I say
it was one hot Friday evening. I'll tell you that.
I mean, that must have taken you at least 3 minutes.
It was about 7.
Oh, 7 months.
Yeah, that's why it's so good.
That is nice. That is definitely, you know, there's color in there, there's block work, there's everything.
There's color. Paolo standards. Well. What did other people draw?
Seriously, you watched the last episode that just went out, yeah, and there is a selection on there. Some good, some
standard, yeah, level.
Some questionable. No, I do. I really, really do love that. But we are going to go and, you know, we're going to go and move on, and we're going to go and talk. Obviously,
before we do that, we should let our viewers know if they submit a badly drawn bamboo, they can do that. And you can contact Kev on Bamboo Creatives. So that's BMBOO_creatives, and send your badly drawn bamboo. And it quite possibly could be featured on a future episode of Rip It Up.
That was so professionally done.
Enough plugging.
I need to start selling my announcing services.
Wow, I was impressed.
You'll be charging me in production for that. But I'll get the spill. I'll be like,
yeah,
Milo Dennis, it's like voiceover services.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So no, I really did love that. Genuinely, obviously, I think everyone did. I think you enjoyed that segment just as much as we do. So, but yeah. On to our kind of like next part of the show. Obviously, yeah, endometriosis as part of Endometriosis Awareness Month with fantastic Noam Frank. And we have a few viewer questions as well. So I think, Milo, you've got one.
Come in. We do indeed. So the first one is from Dave.
I've been answered a bit.
Hi, Dave.
Dave 212, to be exact, I guess. I don't know.
Hi, Dave 212.
How would you say?
Hey, Dave 212.
How would you say a partner, teacher, or coworker be able to identify any signs that someone may be suffering with endo?
Ooh.
Sorry, that was a little bit similar to what I asked you, but we'll do that for Dave.
That's a great question, and I hope I'm qualified to answer it, really. But I would say, if we're talking teacher and we're talking kind of like younger people, younger girls, then if a girl or a person is not functioning when they have their period, so it's normal to have like maybe a little bit of pain, but if like you're missing school or you're missing work or you cannot move and you're stuck in bed for 2, 3 days, 5 days every month, that's definitely something to like look into, and that should definitely raise a flag or two. Definitely could kind of present in like food sensitivities, maybe anything that involves like stomach aches and just like back pain, even like, because basically pelvic pain is the deal, but it could kind of show in different ways. I would say that the first thing, if someone's not aware, is definitely like painful periods that stop you from doing your daily activities. Since we're talking mainly like for younger people, like teachers, parents and stuff, I think that would mainly be it. Any unexplained pain a lot of times could be endometriosis. And also for partners, a touchy subject that people don't really love talking about is that it's not uncommon to experience pain with sex. So if there's like issues with that, you know, it's probably worth bringing up the topic and at least exploring the direction.
Absolutely. No, I think that's some really good advice. And I don't think there's any question that you're not qualified to answer it because of the experiences that you have yourself. But we have got another one, and we've got Charles 662.
Wow. So nearly
the devil.
We're really strong with numbers today.
I know.
I should have put my name with the number.
Frank 6676652. They're like when you get those like Twitter bots, isn't it? And it's like, you know, John.
Yes.
And then it's like 75 numbers.
That sounds not far from like my spam email, but I will not say it.
Yeah, don't give it away. Mm-mm. So Charles 662 says, I'm quite young. Is there anywhere I can go in my college to talk to anyone about this, as I feel like I can't talk to my doctor?
Ooh, that's so harsh. I would get a new doctor, yeah. I mean, I don't know if that doesn't help, you know, if someone's in a position where they can't access that and they have one doctor and they can't approach them for it. So I don't know if this is the most helpful advice. Possibly there's somebody in the college, like a counselor or a person that can redirect you. But the person that you really do need to speak to at the end of the day is a doctor. And it might not be your doctor. Maybe your doctor has zero education when it comes to endo, zero understanding, maybe zero empathy. Maybe you need to keep searching. I hope you don't need to search too much, but it might be worth asking around. A helpful tip that it shouldn't be like that because it's not like the formal way to go around it, but is looking online and like groups in your area, because there's a lot of Facebook groups for endo and they can kind of like maybe refer you to a doctor that does understand. Maybe they'll be able to kind of help you within your area to find somebody that is better, that would be a better address for this.
All right. Yeah, that's the nice thing about modern technology as well. Like, say what you will about social media, it, you do have like Facebook groups, Reddit groups, you know, that type of stuff.
I found social media so helpful with this. You have no idea. Like, I am so thankful for online life within the context of endo. It's crazy.
That's great. Okay. Let's move on to something that involves desert islands. Oh. So you've given us some great advice, but let's find out if you could just keep one item of yours that you had to take with you onto a desert island. What would that
be? My hot water bottle.
Hot water bottle on a desert island. That doesn't sound useful at all.
I was going to say something else, but then we were having the endo talk, and I'm like, what's the one thing I cannot live without, even when it's like a gazillion degrees outside and I'm literally sweating, but I still have a hot water bottle on because it's the only thing that helps like a little.
Okay. All right. Well, it is you and what you would take, so that's fair.
I love that. You put all that effort into the badly drawn bamboo, and then it's like, yeah.
I changed my answer. Like, I was going to say my phone. But then I was like, no, that's not what I need. Oh, I need a hot water bottle. Sometimes my phone overheats and then I'm like, okay, no, maybe, but it's not the same.
Yeah. All right.
And that might be a RAM issue on your phone. Sorry.
You're joking, but my old laptop used to overheat. And when I was in uni and I was like writing essays, I was like, this is probably very unhealthy, but I kind of like it. I was using it as just like a heating computer, and it was just
nice and soothing.
I was like, yeah, it's exactly what I needed right now.
All right.
Well, that's cool. Like, definitely, you know, we've had all sorts of answers for our, I think someone said a mattress, didn't they, once?
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah.
Mattress. I this is your third one. I've got a feeling you're gonna like take a suitcase just rammed full of stuff. Really. And be like, oh, I'm just taking a
suitcase. I'm not a light packer, I'll tell you that.
It's like a suitcase, it's a shipping container.
Yeah.
You know those people that have like a tiny bag but have everything in it? Like, you could literally ask for any random item and they'll have it.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm that person. I always have a tiny bag. It's like this big, but I fit my entire house in it. So
that's
amazing. I'm a handy friend. You want to be my friend? That's what I'm saying.
I do, because my wife, my wife has a large bag and never has anything useful in it. Every time I need something, it's not
the opposite. It's like, there's nothing in here.
Yeah, it's a completely pointless bag.
Ah, that's cool. No, I still like the answer. It's cool. And then, yeah, well, we've got one of the best questions that we always ask on Rip It Up as well, which is obviously to do with cheese. And so, yeah, this is our Let's Get Cheesy moment. And Noam, what is your favorite cheese?
Oh my God, this question gave me such a hard time.
I'm going to say, are you going to go all in depth again on it? It's cool. You can.
I did keep the jar of my favorite cheese, so I can show you.
Yeah, bring it up. What is it?
A jar
of cheese.
I wanted to keep the lid, but I don't know where it went because I washed it. Here, have a look. It's not a commercial.
Is that cream cheese or cottage cheese? I can't really.
It's almond cream cheese.
Cream cheese, okay.
Almonds,
not just regular cream cheese. Almond cream cheese.
No, and it's like easily the best dairy-free cheese. I love dairy-full cheese as well. I'm not a vegan, but I don't eat it often, and this is my daily like treat. I love this. But to be honest, like? I would eat any cheese that is served with wine or on pizza.
Yeah.
Good response.
Yeah, cheese with wine is always a good one. But what does that taste like? Is it just very almondy, or does it got like?
No, it tastes like cream cheese. Even nicer, maybe. Kind of heavy, but I like it.
So, okay, so it's like almond milk but almond cream cheese. So it's not like cream cheese with almond or something like that.
Okay. You should try it, even if you're not vegan. It's like that good. It's good enough for people that eat cheese to actually try it.
All right,
what was it called again, sorry?
Noosh.
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 N-N-U-S-H. Noosh.
I don't think I've seen it at my local.
$10.99 in local supermarket now today. It's like less, I think.
So Noam does obviously voiceovers for ads and things as well. So there, she was just getting into it.
If I'm actually going to be like job hunting, I'm like, Noosh, you're a best alternative for cheese.
Perfect. Maybe,
we'll send you the clip and you can have it to
your new gig.
Thankfully, I don't write the text, just read them out.
So before we're going to close it out here, because cheese, you can't top that. But we're going to try by having you close it out with another song for us. Yes. Before you do that, however, where can people find you if they want to see like what you're up to, your next gig, whatever?
So the best place to find me really is on Instagram, because I do a lot of different things and I kind of put everything in there. So that's Noam Frank, just simple as that. I have a band called Galactic Dust. I think we're very cool, but you know, I'm a bit biased. I do have a solo gig with the songs that I'm singing tonight, kind of premiering them, debuting them really, because I've never performed with them. These are all like post-lockdown creations or lockdown creations.
When's your gig taking place?
It's on the 21st of April. It's going to be in Power Plant in Camden. And it's like there's going to be two other artists. It's going to be like a singer-songwriter tonight, and it's going to be very cute, I reckon.
Excellent. Great. That's Power Plant in Camden, April 21st.
That's the one.
Milo and I should try and make sure that we get ourselves down there. Well, Milo doesn't have an excuse because he's...
I actually would go because I love going to the shows of people that we see, that we talk to. But I actually will be out of town on the 21st of April. I'm out of town on the 20th. So I can't.
Oh, just
the next one. I'll find out. I'll follow you on Instagram so that way I can see when the next one is.
Absolutely. But yeah, so just before we do perform, sorry, just want to thank obviously any viewers that have put in their questions.
Charles12345 and Dave121.
Yeah, absolutely. Charles Perfect. And Dave. Obviously thanks to you so much for joining us as well and informing people about endometriosis. That's got a little insight into your world. So we were all planning on seeing Milo perform as Buttons at the theatre, but that's been dropped. So instead, we're going to be off to one of Noam's gigs later on, but now she's going to see us out with a song. So what are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play a song called March On.
All right.
Thank you for having me. I'll say that. And thank you for raising awareness. It's not something that I take for granted, because I know that if I were to see this a few years ago, it would probably help me. So I hope it helps someone else out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it made me more aware. Like I said, I'd never even heard of it. So that's
great. Yeah, one more person. So
one, yes. Okay, let's do this, shall we?
I ask myself too many questions. Why is it never enough? I need to write how I feel every second. My words are my lucky charms. I push myself with too much pressure. It's hard to know when to stop. Running around my life in circles, why do I always feel stuck? I don't know how I've lasted this long, hiding under my tongue. Had no choice. voice, but keep my emotions locked up. To survive, what my life's become. Now it's done, I move on. Nothing's weighing me down, just my gown and my crown. I march on. I raise the bar, high expectations. Why can't I be my own friend? Cheering me on when I deserve it, cheering me up when I fail. I don't know how I've lasted this long, hiding under my tongue. Had no choice but keep my emotions locked up. To survive when my life's become, now it's done, I move on. Nothing's weighing me down, just my gown and my crown. I march on. Now that I prove that it's not in my head, on my heel, on my scars, I'ma break all my chains. I learn I don't deserve to pretend.
All right. Well, that was a fantastic show. So what's coming up next, Kev?
Yeah, next on Rip It Up, Milo, we should have coming with us Clive Osman, who is a satirical performer. And they basically perform in many guises, including the Queen. So that should be an absolutely cracking show.
Yeah, that should be super entertaining. I can't wait to see how that one unfolds.
Sure, man.
We'll be right back.